I was in seminary, one of the classes we had to take was something called systematic theology. I never really even liked that phrase, because I don't really think theology can be systematic, but we had to take it. And apparently the professor had a similar idea, because as she began teaching us, she said that every person who looks into theology at all has what she calls a monster under the bed. We all have some troubling dimension of theology that we cannot adequately assign to a system. And so we have to choose what we want to cling to and what we are willing to live with that we cannot explain. My monster is theodicy. The pieces of the word mean God's justice, but it generally refers to this huge theological dilemma. If God is loving and God is all-powerful, then why does God let us suffer? Jesus' listeners in this gospel struggled because they saw the same monster. They couldn't let go of the idea of cause and effect. Why would God let people engaged in an act of worship perish? Why indeed? Interpreters sometimes ask of this piece of scripture why the question was asked of Jesus. Some say that the people there wanted to push Jesus into resisting the oppressive system and rising up. Some say that there was a need to provoke Jesus so that he would get in trouble with the authorities. I think it is much more likely that, like us, they just didn't understand why that monster has to live under the bed. Why were righteous men, even in the act of faithful religious acts, killed inexplicably? Jesus' listeners were confused. They weren't trying to catch Jesus in something, but simply trying to understand. Generally, in the Jewish practice of that time, physical suffering was seen as a consequence of a person's sin. There is a place in Ezekiel which says, "When the righteous turn away from their righteousness and commit iniquity, they shall die for it." We have the book of Job. For the people of that time, it was preferable even to think that God plays games and makes bets with human fate, rather than to think the righteous suffer without cause. Job and his friends saw that same monster under the bed, that a loving, powerful God would not allow a righteous man to suffer. But Job did suffer, they reasoned, so he must have done something wrong. Because of what the early scriptures told, and because of the human need to explain, we are desperate to find cause and effect. We cannot live with the coexistence of random suffering and a loving and powerful God. We all have seen that particular monster under the bed. And so we apply our rationale to situations where cause and effect are not even appropriate, because it is such a powerful instinct of human nature. We are motivated by our desperate desire to believe that the universe is not random. God favors us, so we must have done something right. I am suffering, so I must have offended God. It is better to believe such rationale than to accept randomness about human life and death. Very often, our desperate need to explain leads to other ills in our lives. Superstition, obsessive compulsive disorder. When I do this, that happens, and so I will keep doing this, or I will avoid doing this. We have a desperate need to know we have some control. But if God's kingdom were to work with simple cause and effect, the fig tree Jesus described would have been cut down immediately. It did not earn its way. So, the Jew believed that by and large, calamity is the wages of sin. So they asked Jesus this question. But in response to it, he cuts across the current belief that calamity comes to us to pay for our sins. As one commentator said, he confronted the truth that calamity is no respecter of persons, even though that truth might double the mind's questionings. He said, I'm not going to explain it, even though that made us question more about a loving and powerful God. But instead, Jesus directs attention away from the question, probably because what he wanted to speak about was the eternal, something they couldn't really latch on to. Jesus did not tell us why the evil thrive, why disasters come. Instead, he urged us to let go of our insistence on cause and effect. In effect, he said, get out of your intellect and into your heart and soul. Jesus taught us in word and deed to ask what eternal purpose can be found in this temporary life. He taught us to ask what of God's work we are called to do. To ask why God put each of us here with our unique circumstances, relationships, and gifts. By not answering the question of doctrine, Jesus lets us consider instead what is each of us to do with this precious life we have been given. By not explaining away the monster, Jesus told us implicitly that calamity is part of life. He lived it in his arrest and torture and death. It is part of life. How do we live knowing that fact? We focus on the eternal in this moment. We trust as best we can that God has something better for us than this painful and frustrating world. One source says in the gospel, the fig tree is reflective of the apathy and indecision widespread among those who hear Jesus' message. In our time, that apathy comes in the form of complacency and distraction and busyness. We get so preoccupied with temporal things that we forget to be with one another. This gospel reminds us to turn from apathy and into engagement with God and with other people, with our own souls, to throw out our need to explain calamity and simply learn to be with one another in it. Disaster does not only befall the evil, it befalls every person in the material world. We must find a way to break our addiction to causation and explanation. Here we are. We have this fleeting but beautiful human life. We have this opportunity to be with one another in our joys and in our sorrows, the opportunity to see God in others and to bear God to others through compassion and forgiveness. And so we have to remind ourselves over and over and over again that we are not saved by cause and effect, but by the grace of God, and that we are called to live out that grace by being loving human beings. I believe that God is love. I believe that God is all-powerful. We still suffer, and I still don't know why. Yes, I know there's a monster under the bed, but it is the one I have chosen to live with. Amen.